Welcome to Red Eye. I'm Greg Gutfeld, or as I'm known in Budapest, Sarah Jessica Parker. Let's go to TV's Andy Levy for a pregame report. Andy, what's coming up on tonight's show?
Thanks, Greg, and show me the strength of your singular eye, America. Our top story tonight is Will Smith backtracking on claims he'd love to pay higher taxes. Some say yes, but others say, oh, hell no. Plus, what state decided to lower its passing grade for a writing exam after 70% of students failed? If you guessed Florida, you're not wrong. And finally, what do British women say makes the perfect man? Probably something about ordering a martini shaken, not stirred, which, by the way, is really stupid unless you're drinking a vodka martini. Then it makes sense. Greg?
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
You're welcome.
Don't want to waste any time with you, really. We've got great guests. But I do want to point out that Glenn Frey's new album is finally out.
I know. I believe I actually tweeted about that the other day. It's an album of cover tunes from the American Songbook, Greg.
It's called After Hours.
Yeah, it's absolutely hideous.
I was going to, before you get home, I was going to put it on and fill up the tub, get some rose petals, and just create a little walking path to the tub.
Really?
Yes.
Did you get some of those man candles?
Yes, I do. And then I'm going to stab you in the face.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Tonight?
Yes.
Let's
go away.
Let's do this.
All right. Let's welcome our guest. She's so cute that Dora the Explorer has a Dana Perino lunchbox and the matching pencil case. I'm here tonight with Dana Perino, former White House press secretary, and one of my many co-hosts on The Five that I allow to sit around me. And he's so cool that leather jackets wear him to biker bars. It's Nick Gillespie, Reason.tv, and Reason.com's editor-in-chief. He's the author of the book, The Declaration of Independence. If you haven't read it, then you probably shouldn't. And his stench has a better sex life than him. It's my repulsive sidekick, Bill Schultz. And if insightful commentary were jury duty, I'd do him with 11 random strangers. Sitting right next to me, Gavin McInnes, writer for TackyMag.com and StreetCarnage.com. His latest book is called How to Bleep in Public. See, I saved the editor's work. And his reporting's a joke because he only blows smoke. It's our New York Times correspondent. Good to see you again, Pinch.
Today in the Times, A.O. Scott reviews the movie based on the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Not to editorialize, but under a Romney administration, mothers can be expected that their infants to be thrown into Mormon youth camps the minute they enter the world and then be fed a steady diet of Reaganomics and decaffeinated soda. Greg?
No, that was quite informative.
Yes, I am informative. I'm all the news that's fit to print.
Or just stupid.
Might want to lower the camera because you can see Bill's sleeve.
Yes, all right. Yes. Is he backtracking when it comes to taxing? Well, last week, Will Smith said he supports the Buffett rule in taxing the rich more. But even he has limits, apparently. During an interview on French TV, they have television in France, don't you know? The actor changed his tune after hearing that the new president has proposed raising the rate to 75%.
Fermement convaincu que si je suis ici en tant que noir, alors que je n'ai pas fait d'études supérieures, mais finalement je fais quand même le tour du monde régulièrement, je vends mes films, tout simplement je reste donc convaincu que c'est le seul endroit au monde où j'ai pu faire ça. C'est les États-Unis d'Amérique. Donc moi, 75. Ah ouais.
Wow, yeah, that's different.
Bon, là, c'est vrai que c'est pas pareil quand même.
Yeah, 75%. Well, you know, wow. God bless America.
Wow, French TV is annoying. How do they get through that? Meanwhile, in other tax news, Chuck Schumer and another senator who's not Chuck Schumer have announced legislation designed to punish people who renounce their citizenship in order to dodge taxes, like that Facebook co-founder. Anyway, I wonder if Schumer used language young people like me might understand.
Eduardo Saverin wants to defriend the United States of America just to avoid paying taxes, and we aren't going to let him get away with it.
So Saverin can't hide, and neither can this husky.
Where are you going? Mr. Puff?
Let's see, died shortly after. Not really. Are you kidding?
He's doing that fact.
He's doing porn. That's the worst thing about it. What?
Gitmo for dogs?
Yes, that's Gitmo for dogs. Gavin, is it adorable how Will Smith, when he finds out how the real world works, just thinks it's hilarious? Yeah. I mean, it's like he discovered something, that there's worse places than America.
Yeah, he likes the platitudes until it becomes a bill for him.
Yeah.
But didn't Hollywood guys have to pay, 90% back in the 50s or 80%? So he can go back there anytime he wants.
Yeah, but I don't think he is. And he makes a lot of money.
And in Men in Black 3, he's in the 50s, right?
Yeah.
So he went back there, saw what it was like, and he still thinks it's insane.
Actually, technically, he goes back to the year 1969, and I will further add that Josh Brolin does a wonderful impression of a younger, older guy in the movie whose name escapes me.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Thank you.
Wow. Dana, is this just more proof that celebrities don't understand how taxes work because they make so much money, they don't have to buy anything, they don't even have to think about anything?
They don't even know how much money they get. Okay, yeah. So then the politically correct answer is, yes, I would be willing to pay more taxes. Mm-hmm. And then when you ask the question, okay, well, then how much of a dollar do you think should go to pay for taxes? And you know they never get asked that question. Yeah. So then when he finds out that the new tax rate in Holland, Prime Minister Holland is planning in France, then he's like, oh, wait, no, 75. Yeah. No, I'm up for that.
Yeah.
I'm up for that. So then he has to backtrack. Yeah. It was pretty funny.
I think this is great because, you know, first you had John Lovitz really letting mm-hmm. him ride on, you know, when he was talking about basic economics. You have Will Smith now. I'm expecting Alec Baldwin's going to come out against new telephone taxes. So, you know, the basic economics of it is if you tax something, you get less of it.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see Will Smith have his income tax less, but his movies such as Hancock or Wild Wild West tax more.
Ah, a very good solution. Point.
Two classics, sir. Yeah. Well, Bill, disrespectful.
And also, by the way, I think that the U.S. should do a prisoner swap. We get Eduardo Saverin back, and we give Schumer, that other senator, and like another, you know, maybe a congressman or two to be named later.
I like that idea. Response. I like
the worst
that.
Part about the Schumer thing is when his staff wrote for him that Saverin wants to defriend America, and then he reads it. And with a line like that, you got to give it and have confidence. And he didn't even know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
With his rigged glasses, he wants to be defriend. He's like, you get it? Defriend.
Yeah.
I think it should have been more like an LMFAO.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. Bill, how is this going to affect? How is this recent Will Smithian anecdote going to affect your feeling about the upcoming movie? Because I know you're a huge fan.
I'm an MIB-er.
Yeah.
Big MIB-er. I don't understand the gripe, though. Because, I mean, like, yeah, like, I just don't understand how you can be one thing or the other. He's saying that maybe he could be taxed more, but he can also still say 75% is maybe pushing it a little bit. Like, I don't understand what the
problem is. He's ignorant. I think that's what we realized. He didn't know. He doesn't know how. He doesn't believe it could be worse in other places. So when he finds out, he goes, oh, wait, maybe I'll just shut up now. And maybe I won't say we should be taxed more.
Yeah, it's like when they look at British gas prices and they say, we could pay more for gas. We should be willing to pay more for gas. And then they see what goes on in Britain. They go, whoa, no, not that much.
How are we going to pay for our catering trucks? All right, I want to ask, do you care about this guy, the Facebook guy?
I care so much that I'm using all my willpower to stay calm and not scream.
Okay, good. I mean, do they have a right to leave and come back?
Sure,
of course.
This thing that drives me nuts.
This isn't Hotel California.
Mm.
You can actually, because he came here as an immigrant with his family.
Yeah.
They say under duress, but you know they were a wealthy family that they were in trouble. They come to America. They paid their taxes, I suppose, while they were here. They went to private schools. He went to Harvard. And now he's a billionaire. We can't tell him not to leave. I mean, we might disagree with the choice. And you want to say, well, don't you want to be here in America? But if he chooses not to, then okay, see ya.
All right, I want to go to the ultimate, the libertarian here. Yeah. He stands to make $3 billion, but he only had to pay $76 million, which is pretty low, right? Wasn't it about
Yeah, you know, really.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, come on, I paid that a couple months ago.
Yeah. So what do you think? I mean,
look, the U.S. is one of, it's the only industrialized country in the world that forces people to pay income tax on a global basis, where you don't get a credit for where you're living and paying taxes.
Yeah.
It's screwed up. It's a bad idea for corporate income tax or business tax. It's a bad idea for individual taxes. Mm-hmm. We're all citizens of the world. We should have, I mean, you know, without going full Judge Napolitano, if you don't have a right to leave the country, you got no rights at all.
Yeah, that's communism.
Yeah. Full Judge Napolitano is actually a wrestling move.
I think it's been banned for most.
Different kind of wrestling.
It's not in the Constitution.
The thing that drives me nuts about this is a politician assumes that we're on his side.
Yeah.
And he goes, guys, can you believe this? Yeah. he screwed us. And you go, no, no, you drove him away.
And also, I mean, when you think about, like, he's part of something that is defining the world we live in. It provided immense value.
Yeah.
We should be paying, you know, if anything, I mean, well, we have paid him. Investors will pay Saverin and the other Facebook creators, but there is something truly sick about saying, okay, you can only leave if you pay me a massive cut of money. That's mob logic.
Plus, if we had a national sales tax, mm-hmm. because he's going to buy a lot of stuff, then it would actually, you would capture that same taxable income.
It's exactly what happened when the Beatles left Australia.
Yeah. Well, I think since
U2 left the UK, and they're tax residents of Holland because
it's Stones
cheaper.
Left the UK for the same reason. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These tight.
Aha left Norway.
That's right. I think that since
and left recording altogether.
Yeah, Glass Tiger left Ohio. Mister moved from Encino to El Paso.
Mr. then had surgery and became Sister. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
That is true.
That's why you never see him in any of those revivals.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of these bands merged, and that's how you count. How come you have everything but the Girls Against Boys to Men Without Hats?
Nicely done. Well done. Ooh, I can smell a Twitter contest. From A-listers to D-earners, should you lower the bar if kids aren't up to par? Well, the Florida Department of Education, yes, they have one there, has made it easier to pass a state writing exam after 70% of fourth graders failed. That's 7 out of 10. Said one superintendent of the sad mess, quote, it does not identify the problem. It only puts a Band-Aid on it. Such a cliche. And teachers say their pupils did poorly because the test was too hard. Maybe you should think of glasses. Get it? Because they had pupils. But they cited the essay topic as too hard. They said, suppose you or someone else had a chance to ride a camel. Imagine what happens on this camel ride. Write a story about what happens on this camel ride. So this brain buster was deemed unfair to the fact that Floridian kids don't know what a camel is. For the record, Floridian kids, this is a camel. As you can see, camels only eat bananas. Dana, you claim to be smart. Do you appreciate the fact that dumb people are looking out for each other?
Yes, it's great. I love it that if somebody can't do something, then you just change it for them because that makes sense. Also, don't they have zoos in Florida? I mean, it's inconceivable to me that at 11 years old, you still don't know what a camel is. But the best part about this story is a teacher who's quoted in the article who says, I've been teaching for 40 years, and I couldn't even write a story about a camel. Right. Really? Okay. Well, then maybe we should send that on over to the union. You should get fired.
This is kind of a depressing story, Nick. We're screwed as a country, aren't we?
Well, I think, first off, we need to clarify the fact the kids didn't fail a test. Clearly, their teachers did, because if they couldn't pull that off, I don't know. But I'm against mandatory testing for anything but chlamydia.
How come?
No reason.
In that case, I put the man in mandatory.
The chlamydia test for men is extremely painful.
That's yes. Right here.
Really? I've had it done.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to know the rest
of
the story, Gavin.
Just for a story.
I want to ask you, you grew up in Canada. Are schools in Canada as awful as this seems to be?
They're much better, I'm afraid. They're based on the British system. And this story is just indicative of the way America's going with, the kids are doing badly? Make the test easier.
Yeah.
Oh, we're running out of money? Print more money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got to tighten your belt? Get a bigger belt. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
But if these kids don't know what a camel is, that means that, is there a book in this house? How can you not know what a camel is?
Yeah, I just.
There's not even Animal Planet in the house.
What is, what's going to happen when the Islamicists take over? So, we're really
what are those?
Well, thankfully, they walk really slow, those camels.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I happen to look at the glass half full. Maybe, Bill, we don't need to know about camels. Yeah. Maybe this is just an evolutionary sign that it's time to kill all the camels.
We've never needed them.
No.
They're freakish looking.
Yeah, they are.
If I had those type of humps, someone would give me surgery.
We have our own way of storing water now. I mean, technology has really saved us.
We don't need camels.
It's the liberals. They got rid of that Joe Camel cigarette guy, and the kids don't know anything anymore.
But you know why they got rid of him? Because he looked like a penis. Remember that dull rumor?
Yeah.
You looked at
that. You can see it.
No, yeah. No, but then again, Bill, you see that everywhere.
Yeah.
Of course, they go to me. All right, from exams to slams, will they use Jeremiah to attack the Messiah? Yes, will the right invoke right? Who? On Thursday, the New York Times reported that some Republican strategists are working with conservative billionaire on a secret plan. Some secret. to play up Obama's race and his connections to Jeremiah Wright, who's he? That proposal, one of several being studied by Joe Ricketts, awesome name, founder of TD Ameritrade, would be, quote, one of the most provocative campaigns of the super PAC era, using the controversial pastor's black liberation rhetoric against the president. Ricketts responded, saying he rejects that approach, and Mitt Romney weighed in, condemning any efforts to link Obama and Wright. But I'm not afraid to question boldly. If Obama wins a second term, will he replace our national anthem with Russia's? Dogs sing the Russian national anthem. That's our future, thanks to Obama and gay marriage.
Just with a little flexibility, hopefully, in a second term, that's what you could do.
I would, you know, if I was, what do you call it? What is it? A lame duck?
Sure.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anymore. That's exactly what I would do. I would do anything I wanted. But here's the thing. Whether you think he should use Wright or not, Nick, isn't it weird? Don't you get the feeling that Mitt or they're letting the media dictate the norms of what they should do when, and you shouldn't, should you really be listening to people who don't like you? Like, they don't like him. So why are you taking advice from them?
With this, it's just if the Republicans can't beat Obama based on Obama's 3 years in office, where he has done everything from blowing out the national debt to starting wars to killing American citizens without judicial processes, to replacing candy at Easter at the White House Easter egg hunt with vegetables. I mean, if they can't beat him on his record since he took office, they, you know, just forget it. It's over.
Is it out of bounds doing linking him to Wright just because it's, let's say, statute of limitations? It's been 4 years.
No, I don't think it is out of bounds because it's indicative of a bigger picture. These are all the people he hangs out with and has always hung out with. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it is as effective as pointing out what he's actually done. He's spent $6.5 trillion. That's more than all other presidents combined.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but Bush did try.
Yeah, Bush
did a great job of digging a hole.
Nice guy.
But Billy, the plan that they were going to do says Obama was, they were going to present Obama as a metrosexual black Abe Lincoln, which to me sounds awesome.
That's a compliment.
It is a compliment.
And also, everyone knows Lincoln was also a vampire slayer. Cool. Very cool. And I reject the Obama administration saying that Romney tepidly condemned this. That is how Romney do.
Right.
You might tell a tiger to change its stripes. Romney does tepid. Obama does cool.
He runs tepid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the tone was more, he thinks he's this metrosexual black Abe Lincoln. Yeah. And let me tell you something. They're not saying, let's go out and call him the metrosexual black Abe Lincoln.
Yeah. I just have to say, though, that, you know, I feel like it was stopped because it showed up in the New York Times. That would never have happened.
Yeah, they should have stopped it.
No, but, you know, John McCain didn't do this 4 years ago. And I don't think it was simply because, you know, it's like the media wouldn't have liked it. It's because it's a stupid campaign. I mean,
but also, if you think that there are, if you believe, as Gallup says, there are only 9 to 12% of Americans at this point who are not already decided who they are going to vote for in November, then this type of a campaign is not necessarily going to persuade anybody. The conservatives already are not going to vote for Obama. This doesn't increase their intensity of dislike any more than it already is.
On that note, we must take a break. Coming up, is shoplifting wrong? Dana Perino discusses her new book, Only Suckers Pay for Stuff, The Dana Perino Story, by Dana Perino. A New York Times bestseller, bravo. But first, did Bill's training help or hurt Dana's performance on Jeopardy? Spoiler alert, what is not a violin? Will her claim give her shame? Well, Elizabeth Warren's so-called roots are generating hoots. Yep, a Cherokee genealogist now says there's absolutely no proof of her Native American heritage. To rehash this story, she's a Democrat running for Senate against Scott Brown. She once listed herself as a minority in a directory of law professors. She claims she's 132nd Cherokee because of her great-great-great-grandfather. Then there are reports that not only was his ancestor not Cherokee, he was actually a member of a militia who rounded up Cherokees as part of the Trail of Tears in 1837. Now, a Cherokee genealogist has posted a scathing letter to Warren at her blog, writing, quote, You see, Ms. Warren, some of us have independently done our own research, and we know you have no documentation supporting your claim of Cherokee ancestry. We wonder why you believe you have the right to claim Cherokee ancestry and to call yourself a Native American when you have no evidence to support your claim. For more, let's go live to Red Eye, senior political correspondent, who's been following the story from the very, very beginning. Always on top of things, that cat. Dana, if you were working for Warren, what would be your advice right now?
Get out.
Yeah.
Because, well, that would be... It's
I don't know if she would take that advice.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be working for her anymore. Yeah,
exactly. I think that you would be, when you hand your resignation over, that's saying, I'm getting out.
Part of their problem, too, was that they had five different stories before they got to this one.
Yeah.
And so it's become, it's not just that... It was just a side story. This has actually become the main course of the campaign. Because if you lie about that for years and then have all these different explanations for it, then until you're lying again, then at what point will you stop lying?
Yeah, that is true. Gavin, you're our expert on all things Native American because you made some.
I am one now.
Yes.
Because I married into it.
Yes.
So I've become one. But no, that my wife's tribe has a thing where after 25%, you're cut off.
Yeah.
You don't exist. You don't get any... You're not recognized. And
in the casino, you mean?
Yeah, you don't get any.
Oh, that was almost an attack on your family.
But they do get casino checks.
So they do.
I wouldn't be furious if that's
you're gonna have a tomahawk in your back at the end of this.
But in Canada, you have all these blonde-haired, blue-eyed people talking about their native ancestry and fighting for it, and getting all these perks, and that's ridiculous. You should always be. We're all two generations away from being a different race. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about you?
No, I'm like half a generation away. But I mean, Elizabeth Warren is the least convincing Indian, since Frank Dacova played Chief Wild Eagle on F Troop. I mean, this is just like, it was absurd from the beginning. And the reason why this story is sticking is that the outrage should be coming from people who believe in affirmative action.
Absolutely.
This is such a cynical attempt to cash in. Either in a big way or a small way, on programs that were designed to help people who really were screwed in the past.
Taking advantage of this should anger the people that believe in it most, Bill. If your ancestors were still alive, they'd drown you. But other than that, I don't have a question.
In booze, because they would be partying right there with me. She's from Oklahoma, so she probably does have a little bit of Native American in her, because most people from Oklahoma do. And what she says is that it's her great-great-great-great-great-great maternal grandmother, which makes her 132nd Cherokee. Now, that's pretty ridiculous. Having said that, you know who else is 132nd Cherokee? John Bill Baker. He's the principal chief of Cherokee Nation. Talk about using your background to get ahead.
Here's the thing. You know who else might be doing this? President Obama. Born in the United States, claiming he was born in Kenya in a 1991... whatever, just saw it on the internet, have no idea what it means.
Someone's been hanging out with bowling.
As authors, you have lots of authors here.
Yes.
You know, the little thing that they send around to booksellers where you have your full headshot, and then the little bio, like,
it's an author booklet that has all the different write-ups for all
so
that.
So it said he's born in Kenya. Do you think he did that
so there's a lot of weird coincidences all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I'm not...
How ironic that he might be the first birther. Like, Obama was the one... Obama says he was born in Kenya. When, in fact, he was born in Hawaii, and now he's got to say, wait a minute, I lied back then. Or it could have just been a typo. That's what they're saying. It's a typo.
It's a typo, but an entire sentence is not a typo. How do you get that wrong? Yeah. Somebody had to put that somewhere.
You were working late at night on the typewriter, and you fell asleep in your head, hit the typewriter, and miraculously typed out born in Kenya.
The definition of infinity when
you start typing.
It could have been a really bad game of telephone.
Yeah,
sort of like Elizabeth Warren's family as through the years. It started off as they were Cherokee, then it turned out they were militia, then they came back to Cherokee because it went around so many times.
And it happened too. They said, can you join me? Can you help me with the bio? And he thought he said Kenya instead of Kenya. All right. I've used that joke before, I think. Do you have a comment on the show? Email us. It's redeye@foxnews.com to leave a voicemail on my direct line, 212-462-5050. Still to come, the Halftime Report from TV's Andy Levy.
Tonight's Halftime Report is sponsored by barn owls, those night-hunting birds with white and pale brown feathers that feed on rodents and often nest in barns. Thanks, barn owls.
Welcome back. Let's find out if we got anything wrong so far.
No, not him, too.
For that, we go to TV's Andy Levy. Hey, Andy. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
He's a little flushed.
Hey, Greg.
Hey.
What's going on? What are we doing?
We're doing halftime, that little thing you come in the middle of the show.
It's halftime already?
Yes, it is.
Man, all right. Will Smith and taxes. Dana, you said this is a case of celebrities saying, yes, I would pay more taxes, but then having to backtrack when an actual figure is put in front of them. I don't think that's entirely fair. Why can't his position be that he's willing to pay more taxes than he pays now, but not willing to pay 75%?
Well, right, but he probably pays now 45 to 50%. And so he just automatically, why is it okay for them just to say, yeah, of course I would pay more taxes?
Well, maybe he'd be willing to pay 51%.
Okay, but that.
It doesn't matter to him when you make $100 million a year, Andy. That's the hypocrisy.
Yeah, Andy.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Patriotic millionaires are jerks because they're saying it's okay because they are so wealthy. It doesn't matter. The difference between $100 million and $50 million is nothing.
And everyone knows you can't support Obama and be patriotic.
That's why they're called patriotic.
They're not allowed to wear flag pin lapels.
You can't if you're from Kenya.
But Greg, what you said...
That's a good point, though.
But Greg, what you said makes no sense because Will Smith, obviously, it does make a difference to him at 75%.
Yeah, he's greedy. He's very greedy. And Andy, Bill makes a point about the patriotic millionaires. They call themselves patriotic millionaires. So if you disagree with them, you're not patriotic.
All right, but here's the thing about Will Smith.
He was a Marine. That's kind of what the Republicans do.
He was a Marine cop. Miami cop, he was a Marine Corps pilot, he was a New York cop who got recruited into a top secret non-governmental agency.
Mm-hmm.
He saved the planet on more than one occasion. I'm going to give him a pass on this, Greg. I think he's earned it.
All right. If you insist.
All right.
He was the last man on Earth.
That's a heavy
tax burden.
Yes, he was paying all the taxes.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes. Although he didn't have much of an income.
No, he didn't.
No. On the Chuck Schumer thing. Greg, you said another tax news, Chuck Schumer and another senator who's not Chuck Schumer have announced the legislation?
Yes.
That would be Pennsylvania's Bob Casey.
Ah, fantastic. Bob the old case
Casey.
Monster. Yeah. Just a barrel of laughs.
Yeah. Dana, you said the worst part of this was the way Schumer read the Defending America line. I don't think that's fair. I think whoever wrote this speech should be absolutely ashamed. He's defending America. His social network is about to get smaller. Shut up.
Exactly.
It's horrible.
Wait, but don't you think former Senator Fred Thompson could have read the hell out of that line?
I think anyone could have read that better, but it's god-awful.
But also, if you're going to write a line like that for your boss, then you should at least practice it beforehand.
It was the Mario Batali of speeches.
Yes, absolutely.
Likes.
Yes. But can I ask you a question about this?
Sure.
The dude, the Facebook guy,
Sever.
He was trying to get out of paying, what, 60 some odd million dollars. That's not the percentage of it. That's like not a, that wasn't a tax rate. It was a difference in taxation. So he wasn't trying to escape a 10% tax rate. Follow me?
No.
He was standing to make $3 billion.
Right.
And he was trying to get away from paying $70,000, which just seems like not a lot.
Not 70,000.
70 million.
$70 million. Yeah. Doesn't seem like a lot out of $3 billion, is my point. So we must be reading this wrong. It's got to be more. Maybe,
did he have a Groupon coupon to get out of some of the taxes?
No, he stood to save 67 to 100 million by leaving. That doesn't mean that 67 to 100 would be his total tax bill.
But right. What if he just really likes to live in Singapore, Singaporeist?
Thank you.
Someone must speak for Singapore.
He's been living there since like 2009.
He likes it. He's got family there.
And he hates people who chew gum. So I think he really means it. Nick, it's unconstitutional for Congress to pass a law aimed at punishing one person.
That's right.
This stupidly named Expatriate Act, again, someone should be ashamed of themselves for that,
would
affect other people besides Saverin. But doesn't Schumer's idiotic press conference make it clear that they're going after him?
You would think so. And, Chuck Schumer is an idiot.
Yes.
It was fun when he went after things like he tried to regulate the price of breakfast cereals.
Mm.
He went after Four Loko and basically put caffeinated Four Loko out of business.
That's a great fluid.
I mean, this guy, he's a monster who has to be stopped.
Hey, Andy, the best part about this story, which I neglected to mention, is the amazing way they reverse engineered the acronym. They needed to use Expatriate.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Patriot actually was an acronym.
Oh, was?
Yes, it was.
I can't remember what it stood for.
But I think Greg's point. But they also they reverse engineered that one too. They wanted the acronym to be Patriot, so they
came
up. Yeah,
that's how you do it. It's called writing.
That's cheating.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a happy miracle when that happens.
Yes, I know. It's better that way.
By the way, Schumer and Casey also want this law to be retroactive. And I'm pretty sure that's unconstitutional, too. I don't really understand any of this. Anyway. I don't need to do that. Florida Department of Education. Greg, you said the Florida Department of Education, then you said, yes, they have one, which was a cheap shot. You should apologize for that later. Anyway, you said they've made it easier to pass a state writing exam after 70% of fourth graders failed. Not quite. First of all, it's the Florida State Board of Education that's doing it, not the Department of Education. Two separate things. And this gets to something Nick said. Nick, you said it's not the kids who failed the test, it's the teachers. Yeah. Here's what the state board's actually doing. It's changing the way it grades schools, not the way it grades students. They grade the schools based on the percentage of kids who pass the exam. Mm. So what they're doing is they're lowering the necessary grade to pass from a 4 to a 3 in order so that more schools won't fail. So this has actually, it's not even about the students. They're protecting the schools, which is horrible.
Well, that's even worse then. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I do think that this this whole thing is a great case for school choice. Yep. Parents should be able to pull their kids out of schools mm-hmm. that are pulling these kinds of hijinks.
Yeah. I've been pulling kids out of school all the time because I'm so angry over this.
Yeah. You're a real patriot.
Thank you. I am a patriot, and that's not an acronym.
Yeah.
Hey. Dana, you mentioned that you can't believe 11-year-olds don't know what camels are. I can't believe 11-year-olds are in fourth grade.
It's a long time ago, but that's how old you were, too.
I believe 9 or possibly 10 years old in fourth grade.
Fourth grade, Gavin,
was
awesome.
Don't you think, Gavin, the whole uproar over the camel thing, it's raging Islamophobia.
It is. That's really what's going on here. These kids are patriotic enough to not pay attention to the Middle East, and they're being ridiculed for that.
Thank you.
We take away their Joe Camel cigarettes, and they go, okay, I get it. Middle East is bad, Joe Camel's bad. I'm not paying attention to camels. And then we go, why don't you know more about camels? It's a double standard.
Absolutely. Reverend Wright, Greg, you said the New York Times reported that some Republican strategists are working, blah, 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 the secret plan to play up Obama's race and his connections to Jeremiah Wright. There's nothing in the Times about a plan to play up Obama's race.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't write that.
Well, you read it.
Yeah. Well, who wrote it? You wrote it.
No, I didn't.
All right. Mario Batali did.
Probably. Gavin, I agree it's not at all out of bounds to bring up Reverend Wright, and I mostly agree that the GOP shouldn't, and they should focus on Obama's record. But Nick, you brought up that John McCain didn't do the Reverend Wright stuff 4 years as evidence 4 years ago as evidence that it's stupid to do it. On the other hand, McCain lost.
Yeah, that's true. You got me there.
But he lost with integrity.
Yeah, with honor.
Yes, which is what political parties love to do.
Yeah.
I think that one of the reasons McCain lost is because he was asleep like 90% of the time.
I don't think that's true. I think that's a cheap shot at his age.
Yeah, probably.
There was an upside to him losing, though.
Oh, yeah.
Ratings?
What was that, Greg?
We would have had to have Meghan McCain in the White House. And believe me,
awesome.
her tweeting from the White House, not good. What's up, y'all? Where are my friends? Lincoln bedroom rocks.
Elizabeth Warren.
That was my impression.
That wasn't accurate. Bill, your point on this story that the head of the Cherokee Nation is 132nd Cherokee is pointless. Yeah, because the point of the story is that Warren's been claiming that she's 132nd Cherokee, but it increasingly seems like that's not true.
No one's proved that she's not. I mean, they don't have a lot of records that says
she is. No one's proved she's not from Venus either. But
she's been, she was
told. If you say you're from Venus, you got to show something that proves you're from Venus.
Part of the argument was that she used it to get ahead. And I'm saying that the guy really used it to get ahead. He's her chief.
Okay, but at least he really is 132nd Cherokee.
She could very well be, too. This is an important issue for Massachusetts taxpayers, and I want a DNA test.
It goes to character.
She believed she was. I believe she believed it helped.
That's entirely possible. It may be that she comes from a family of liars, but she herself is not a liar. Who knows?
Wow.
I don't believe that Scott's actually brown. I think that they should look into that.
On that note.
Yes. Coming up. Is it possible to eat at restaurants for free? Dana Perino discusses her new book, Dining and Dashing is Like a Hobby for Me, Also Murder. I'm Not a Good Person by Dana Cobra Snake Perino. It's wordy, but I like it. But first, what do women look for in a man? According to a survey, certainly not Bill Schultz qualities.
Shh.
Should he go free if he reads Old Man and the Sea? A federal judge has agreed to release an armed robbery suspect while he awaits trial on one condition, that he spends 90 minutes a day reading books from an approved list and writing book reports. Otis Mobley Jr., seen here, is accused of trying to rob an undercover ATF agent, and the 23-year-old can stay at his grandmother's house on a $150,000 bond as long as he does the mandated judge work. Read that backwards. Clearly, woof, 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 meow.
Lightning round. Lightning round.
In the background there. Dana, what would your decision have been if you were a judge?
I think I would have kept him behind bars.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
I mean, it's an armed robbery.
It is an armed robbery. This is crazy stuff, Nick. And he only got 90 minutes? He's 20-some-odd years old. Shouldn't he be reading 8 hours a day?
Hey, maybe. But, you know, it was an ATF agent, so maybe he can do some reports on how the ATF handled Waco and Ruby Ridge and a variety of other total snafus.
Wow.
Diversions. I like diversions out of prison.
Yeah.
Nobody ever comes out of prison a better person, with the exception of Mike Tyson and Bill.
Thank you.
Give it a shot. If they can protect the citizenry from this guy in his grandma's house, I'd rather see him do that than go to jail.
So I guess the solution is you can commit a crime and your punishment is your wonderful grandmother cooks for you while you read in the
morning. Yeah, that's not so bad. It's more this, they just need education.
Yeah.
If they had books, they wouldn't rob people. Yeah. But this guy has to read, a book a day and then write a book report every single day?
Yeah.
Is he an X-Man?
But I thought he said he only has to do 90 minutes of reading.
Yeah, but he has to do a half-hour book report, spend half an hour doing a book report every day. But how many books can this guy do? How about a book report?
He's afraid of books. Maybe this is the perfect
They found out, they did a psych exam, and they found out he's deathly afraid of books.
Yeah.
What she should do? She should read a book on calculators. You can't read a book a day and do a book report every day.
Bill, last word. We made you do a book report for your punishment, but then we realized you couldn't read.
I showed you.
Yes.
Score one for the illiterate guy. Excuse me for a second. Secondly, I'm fine with him reading, but I don't like indoctrination. And in forcing him to read The Old Man and the Sea, you're forcing him to subscribe to a very anti-Marlin agenda. Mm-hmm. It's very pro-fisherman. It's pro-Yankee. Yeah. He talks about the great DiMaggio all the time. Don't like it. Brainwashing.
All right. Yeah. Time to take a break. I can't wait. Bill helps Dana train for Jeopardy. You're going to love it or tolerate it. I don't care. Earlier this week, Dana Perino was a contestant on Jeopardy's Power Players Edition. She lost to the guy who wasn't Kareem. Anyway, the week before, Bill Schultz helped her to train. Here's part two of a series that didn't deserve a part one.
I myself am a former Jeopardy Home Edition champion. I have some advice for you
I'm gonna take some notes.
The first one is they never really do horror questions, horror movies. I know pop culture isn't your strong suit.
No.
If they do,
I'm like a cultural black hole.
Huh? Well, you know what? You're a very cute black hole, and that's all that matters. If they do a horror movie, the answer is always The Exorcist. Don't even need to listen to the answer slash question. Straight to The Exorcist.
Straight to Exorcist. Got it.
Name the movie for 1600, please.
Haley Joel Osment's I See Dead People. Dana.
What is The Exorcist?
No.
Alex Trebek is a big Yo-Yo Ma fan. You might get a Yo-Yo Ma fan. You might get a Yo-Yo Ma fan in it. My suggestion to you, just know for the fact that he is a violin player.
Got it.
He developed the Suzuki method, which is popular amongst children throughout the world. So Yo-Yo Ma, violin. No, not the car. No, the car is, we shouldn't buy that because it's not American.
Got it.
Their main musical instrument for 600, please.
Yo-Yo Ma. Dana.
What is the violin?
Oh, no.
Thirdly, you're going to be doing a lot of studying, stuff to avoid. They never do anything on museums. He's a homebody. He doesn't like cultural things unless it's Yo-Yo Ma.
For our final today, we are dealing with museums and this clue to help the players. Completed in 1959, it's been variously described as a snail, a concrete tornado, even a giant wedding cake. Dana, over to you now. You work in New York. Did you get this? Oh, you weren't able to do. And it'll cost you how much? $3,200. So you drop down to zero.
You do realize Alex Trebek doesn't have a mustache anymore.
Yeah, I know.
We'll say goodbye. See you next time. Take care.
So it was my suggestion to have Bill help you out.
Yeah, look how well that turned out.
Yes. Not much support from Bill.
Well, I think that was bad advice, but I think I did give you some good advice by staying away from Trebek because he's a little handsy as far as being a ladies' man is concerned.
Trebek claims...
consummate ladies' man.
No, he claims he watches The Five and he watches...
Yeah, because it's his lunch hour, so then he, from 2 to 3, then he watches it every day, and he says... He asked me questions about you. He knew about Bob and asked about Eric and Andrew and Kimberly. And I don't know if he asked about Juan. He probably knows Juan from before.
I don't know. Kareem, nice guy.
Nice guy, very tall.
Yeah.
Very tall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was standing in that picture. I was in 5-inch heels and on like an 8-inch riser, and still he was super tall.
Now, you know, you weren't the only person on this table that was on Jeopardy. You were on Jeopardy, Nick.
Yeah, you're picking a scab that had almost healed over. Yeah.
My
kid grew up in semi-poverty because I choked at the end of Jeopardy.
How much did you have and how much did you bet?
I ended up misbetting at the end, so I was out of contention based on the bet.
Yeah. Mm.
But I was the only one who got Final Jeopardy right. So it was even...
But what were you up to?
I forget, you know.
You remember every bit of
pressing.
It. Yeah.
You know, for God's sake.
$30,000?
I don't know. I just had sugar plums and dollar signs.
Next year, I think they should have you on.
No.
I'm going to start lobbying for that now.
I will have stomach issues all
over. You know who would be excellent? I bet Andy Levy would be good at it.
But the key,
you really have to work on the clicker thing. That's one thing that we didn't practice.
Mm. Yeah.
And you have to have the timing of the clicker right.
I was not aware that they had clickers.
Absolutely. No. It's all about the timing.
We got to move on. We're going to close things out with a post-game wrap-up from TV's Andy Levy. His life is always in. I'll see you back here at 5 p.m. Eastern time for The Five. I'll be on the O'Reilly Factor at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow on the next Red Eye, we've got Vice Magazine's Michael Moynihan, Juliet Huddy, and comedian David Angelo. Back to you for TV's Andy Levy.
Thanks.
This is a headshot that everybody does.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Nick, is it true that an updated paperback edition of Matt Welch's book, The Declaration of Independence, is coming out?
Yeah, it is. We published different editions. It's kind of like the Kiss solo album. So Matt has a 5-page book coming out of The Declaration of Independence. And then the other 195 pages of my material is coming out.
Really?
But it's a paperback. It's a paperback and with new material. We make a lot of Herman Cain jokes, and it's coming out. We talk about Occupy Wall Street, and it's coming out at the end of June.
I really enjoyed that book, I have to
say. Thank you.
Yeah. Gavin, what's up with your book?
I don't know. Did you get the copy I left for you?
Yeah, like 8 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like other people to buy it?
Nope. Just you.
All right.
It was all a ploy.
Dana, what charity did you play for on Jeopardy?
I got to play for Pets to Vets, which is a group known P2V.org, and they help veterans from military veterans that have PTSD get connected with rescue animals, mostly dogs, around the country. So I got to play for them.
I'd like to personally apologize to them for my training techniques. Please don't come after me.
Back to you, Greg.
All right, thanks, Andy.